Running Close to the Wind by Alexandra Roland. Narrated by Casey Jones. Part 1. 1. 8. The Ship. Travel, ambition, victory, success, freedom. Adventure, opportunity, and promising new enterprises appear on the horizon. There is the possibility of great reward at the end of this journey, but there are risks to face along the way. Reversed, forcefulness, aggression, shipwreck, be cautious. There may be a threat from outside. Attend to each small crisis as it comes up, or you will expose yourself to increasing danger of catastrophe. May signify a becalmed period in the doldrums. As soon as he saw that ship come over the horizon, Avrahelvachi said, "Eee!" scurried to his tiny cabin, so he would be safely out from underfoot, shut the door, sat on the bunk with his little rucksack clasped in his lap, and began to silently compose and rehearse the apology he would imminently need to present, if only to keep himself from being shoved overboard and left for dead. Again. After a few moments of silence, he fumbled in his rucksack and pulled a single card from his deck of heralds. The broken quill, damaged lines of communication, frustration will ruin delicate things. Bit on the nose, really, and nothing he didn't already know. He tucked it away, clasped his hands tight between his knees so he wouldn't vibrate out of his skin, and went back to visualizing minute variations of his apology. Teveri deserved only the best, of course. Once the running sun overtook them, the rest was a quick affair. Avra prided himself on a single scanty fistful of common sense, and he was rather pleased to have correctly assessed the captain of this vessel as a man too sensible to put up much of a fight when boarded by pirates. As the clamor and fuss on deck came to a resolution, Avra bounced his knee and hummed a nervous little tune to himself, one of his own compositions, and continued reflecting upon his predicament. Did he recollect what Teveri had been mad about last time? No, Tev was always mad about something. Who could possibly keep track of Avra's various wrongs? He would apologize nicely for as many things as he could think of then, and that would smooth any still ruffled feathers. Definitely. And if not, well, it was far preferable to die at Teveri as Hafar's hand than the current, most probable alternative. He tried not to think about that. The noise quieted marginally, which meant that Captain Varys's crew had surrendered and that the Running Sun's crew would now take inventory. They'd search the hold and each cabin, and eventually... Someone, a big, brawny, sweaty someone with the sleeves ripped off his shirt and tattoos down his arms, shouldered Avra's door open. "Ah, Oscar!" Avra said, slightly manic. He pasted a delighted smile across his face. "It's been too long!" Oscar, Teveri's second mate, stared at him. "Oh, fuck," he groaned. "No, no, no." Avra pouted. "Are you not pleased to see me? I missed you terribly." "No, no, no, no," Oscar said, backing out of the room. "No, no, no." "What's the matter?" said a familiar voice from behind Oscar. "No," Oscar moaned again. "Fuck." "You seem a bit concerned," Avra said. "Not to worry, I have a plan." "No," said Oscar. "I," Avra announced grandly, "am going to say sorry. Then all will be well, and Tev will forgive me." Another face poked around the doorway, a woman toward the end of middle age, with steel gray hair cropped close to her scalp and dark skin, weathered by sun and salt and wind. "Markefa," Avra beamed. The mild frown on Markefa's face melted into pole-axed astonishment. "What a nice surprise! You were talking so much about retirement last time, I was all prepared to find you'd gone ashore for good. How's the leg? All healed up? How's the family?" "Ah, fuck," said Markefa. "You know, I really think you're both overreacting just a little teensy bit, maybe," said Avra. "Listen, though, I can't decide. Do you think Tev would like it if you delivered me to them hog-tied?" "Hello, incandescent one," Avra said, adoring.